Welcome to the show that combines biblical truth with the purpose of spreading revival. Now, your host, T.S. Wright. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. I am so glad to be able to join you guys today and just to be able to share what my thoughts are. And there is a lot going on in the world right now. And I thought it was important that we take a few moments and explore this, because so often we're caught up with just whether I'm interviewing somebody and we're just talking about their topic, or you might be hearing me talk about events or giving a Bible teaching and those type of messages. I thought it was important that we step off the stage of that this morning and talk about current events and then relating it to how it's working in our faith. So I'm going a little bit off the cuff, but I have mentally prepared for what I'm going to say, so this has some preparation to it. I want to just say this, that I want to tip my hat to Charlie Kirk for having the courage to stand up for his convictions and to doing what he was called to do. You know, many of you are questioning what happened to him and obviously him being murdered. And I will tell you, it was a gut punch to me. So I cannot even begin to imagine what this is like for his wife. I know for his children, they're probably living in a state of confusion and just wondering where their daddy's at. But for her, it's got to be just a myriad in a chaotic mess of emotions. But at the same time, listening to her speak, you could feel the conviction and her heart for Christ. And I want to tip my hat to her as well. And I just want to say to all of us that it's time for us to rise up. It's time for us to start talking. And it's time for us to not allow our convictions to be hidden anymore. We need to start saying the truth. We need to start reaching others for Christ. And it's time for us to start vocalizing what we know to be true and what God is putting in our hearts to say. For too long, we've been in the shadows. For too long, we have been hiding under the rocks, putting our head in the sand. And now's the time. You know, unfortunately, the truth is that sometimes it takes an event like this to awaken people. And people are definitely waking up. I mean, just look at the news, look at different postings around the world and all the stuff that's going on. And looking at all the people that are starting to not only come out and memorialize Charlie Kirk and what he stood for, and for obviously honoring him in his death and honoring his family, but also it's the conviction. And at this moment, don't let this moment fade. Don't let it fade. We need to stand up and say the truth. And so here's where I'm going to take this today. I'm going to take this in the path of God's word, because I think that is the key to all of this. You know, 100 years from now, 200 years from now, nobody's going to remember any of us. We might be a name in a history book somewhere, or we might be, you know, the end times comes and there's a change. But here's what's going to be remembered. And if you were to ask Charlie this, I can promise you at this point, this is what he would tell you. What's going to be remembered is the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ is what's going to be remembered, and his word. Remember this in Matthew chapter 24. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. See, Jesus's words are going to live on beyond all of us, beyond the grave, beyond everything in heaven and on earth. His words are always going to remain. They're always going to be there. So my question to you today is, what is your foundation? What is your foundation for life? For every part of your life? Is it the authority of God's word? Or is it the fleeting moment of culture's, what the things that they glorify? You see, culture is a here today, gone tomorrow type of thing now. It grabs something today, it lets it go and grabs something else tomorrow. Why would we want to put our faith and our trust and our hope in that? Why would we want to idolize those things? Why would we ever Why would we ever bow to something like that? Because it's not going to last. You know, for so long, I loved sports. I did. I loved them. And to the point, sometimes I idolized them. I mean, I'm just being truthful with you guys. And so I can't sit here and say that I'm some perfect guy. I coached for years. Coaching and sports became my idol. But I've given that up. And I've walked away from it. And the whole time remembering and knowing that God's word was still the centerpiece. It was still what would remain. And it outlived any of my idolatry. It outlived my own personal feelings about anything. God's word is what eventually came through my heart. And it is what has now become the total anchor of my life. See, God's word is everything. His word is truth. We have to remember that. His word is total truth. And it's the truth today. It was the truth yesterday. It was the truth 1,000 years ago. And it will be the truth moving forward. It will not change. Whether somebody lives or dies, and I'm not just talking about Charlie, I'm talking about in a general sense. Whether somebody lives or dies, the truth of God's word remains. Regardless of how somebody feels or what they do, the truth of God's word remains. It does not change. It will never change. Jesus told us that. He made that very clear. As a matter of fact, here's how clear he made it. He said, "I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." See, he brought this sword, and what he was saying was simply this. He said, "I will divide everything." That means you are either with me or you're not with me. There is no sitting on the middle ground. You can't sit on the fence. You've got to go one way or the other. And the time is now. No more fence sitting. No more fence sitting. It is time to move forward. It is time to march forward in the truth of God's word and in the truth of who he is. And who he is presented to us through the person and the Son of God of Jesus Christ. He is both God in the flesh and God in the spirit. And he is all these things. He is all things. He's all things. And here's what I'm going to say. The thing that does is that makes Jesus your Savior, your Lord, and your King. Remember this. A king has the right to make the laws. He has the right to enforce the laws. And he has the right to interpret the laws. You know, in our country, it's about the executive branch, the legislative branch. The legislative branch being the lawmaking body. The executive branch being the enforcement body. And then the judicial branch being the interpretation. Well, guess what? And the rulings. The king does all three. And Jesus is the king. So that makes him judge, jury, and executioner. And enforcer. He's all of it. He gets to do every aspect of this. You know, here, let me give you this. And I think this is important. At any point in time, Jesus could have called down the angels. He could have. Here's why he didn't. Partly, he had to fulfill his mission. All right. And that was to save us from our sins by becoming the ultimate sacrifice and then resurrecting from the dead. Okay. We needed that. Without that, we're goners. None of us are saved. But here's the deal. He also didn't do that because at any point, once he does that, there's no turning back. That means the line's been drawn. Whoever's with him is there, is going to heaven. And whoever is not, they go to hell. Once that line is drawn, once that happens, it's over. There's no turning a clock back. There's no second chances. The redemption of sins is over. That's why he hasn't sent his angels like that. Because I want you to imagine yourself being confronted by one of these things. They are massive. They would be, it would scare you to death. And the light of just God's glory all around them would probably blind you at the very least, if not kill you. None of us could withstand that. You see, ultimately God is the judge. And he's given that power over to Jesus. So Jesus gets to save us, and then he also gets to judge us. You know, I sit here and I think about this. constantly, and that is, how can I reach people for Christ? And then also looking at people, when I look at people around me, the questions that I ask now aren't, you know, worried about what they look like or all these other things, the physical appearances, or, you know, I wonder what their political beliefs are, or, you know, what kind of car they drive or what kind of money they have. I don't think about those things anymore. You know what I think about? Do they have Jesus? Have they received Christ yet? That's all I think about. Because I think about the goodness of God and getting to be in his presence forever. And then I also think about what happens when somebody does not get to be that, when they are eternally separated from God. You see, God doesn't send anyone to hell. People choose it by rejecting him. And if they reject his son, they reject him. So I am saying this right here, right now. If you know people that do not know Christ, we need to be finding ways to reach them. We need to be praying for God to soften their hearts with the seeds of the gospel and his truth so that they will stay, take, and grow deep roots in them. We need to be praying that, and then we need to be pursuing that as God calls us to do it. And he will call us. You ask him and he'll start calling you, and he'll give you the courage of that conviction to do so. You know, Charlie did this. He wasn't just going out for a political movement. Did he help in the politics? Yes, absolutely. You know, Turning Point USA has been very impactful in the political scene. But Charlie's main goal was not politics. And anybody who thinks that is missing the point. The point is this, is that he was there to evangelize. I want you to think about that. He was there to evangelize. Unfortunately, I think in some regards, this has been missed by a lot of people. It's been said by a lot of people, but it's being missed. Because in some ways, they're thinking it's a political revolution. I think in some ways, right now it is, but I think what's happening is, and you want to understand end times, I think it's paving a way for a great harvest. I think this is one of the events that it is. And I've been taught, you know, if you go back and you listen to the Seven Ages of the Church and hear me talk about things and Pastor Bob interviewing me, well, guess what? We talk about some of these things that were happening at those moments, but there's things that are happening right here, right now, and this is one of them. I think this is one of those events that are paving the way. You know, God will use what was evil to turn it into good. And I believe he's going to do this, and I believe he already is. It's just, and this is just a start. I think this is just the beginning. I think we are getting ready to be on the brink of this great harvest that I keep talking about. Here's what I'm going to tell you guys. If you remember back when Jesus spoke to the adulterous woman, if you guys remember that, okay, if you know those verses, see, here's what happens. When we sin, there's a few things that go on. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull this up right here, right now. And I want to bring this in. So I've got to pull up the verses. I don't remember the verse numbers. I'm just being honest with you about that. Typically I do, but, you know, Jesus would talk about the woman that was caught in adultery. And then he also would talk about adulterous people, and he helped an adulterous woman. Okay. There was a time when, we had an adulterous woman. I think it's in Luke chapter 7, if I remember correctly, verse 44. What happened was, it was Luke chapter 7, and it starts with verse 36. It says, then one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to come eat with him. And he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And when a sinful woman entered that town and learned that Jesus was dining there, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet, washing his feet, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wipe them with her hair. Then she kissed his feet and anointed them with perfume. When the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who this is and what kind of a woman is touching him, for she is a sinner. Basically an adulteress, okay? She's, you know, probably been involved in prostitution, committed adultery, I mean, you name it, all right? And Jesus answered him, said, Simon, I have something to tell you. He goes, tell me, teacher. Two men were debtors to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. When they were unable to repay him, he forgave both of them. Which one of them would love him more? And he says, I suppose the one who forgiven more. You've judged correctly. And he turned to the woman and said, do you see this woman? When I entered your house, you did not give me water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not greet me with a kiss, but she has not stopped kissing my feet since I've arrived. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with perfume. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins are forgiven, for she has loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. But those at the table began to say to themselves, who is this that he even forgives sins? And Jesus told the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. You see, it doesn't matter the situations that we're in. When we bow to the feet of Jesus, he will forgive us. He forgives us our sins. But notice there are some interesting things about this verse, or about this passage, I should say, is that she has to come to him humbled and broken. See, her humility and her brokenness, that is the key. She was no longer glorifying her sin or living in her sin. You see, she had now turned away from her sin and she had bowed at the feet of Jesus, knowing that he could forgive her and release her from the guilt of all of this. She knew the truth and she expressed it in the way that she came before and knelt before Jesus. And it's really an expression of how we are to come. And I think if Charlie was alive right now, I think he would tell you that we all need to come to the foot of the cross and bow at the feet of Jesus. All of us. Let's not waste this. Let's not waste these times. Let's make sure that we are reaching a world that is fallen, that is hurting, that is glorifying sin. We need to be helping this world see Christ, not only in the way we live, but in our words. And we need to start actively pursuing people. We need to actively pursue those who don't know the Lord. You see, it's not just the job of a pastor. If we are just going to rely on pastors, that's impossible. Okay? Because they don't know everybody. Many of the people that come in their church, they don't know. I'm not saying that's that way in every church, but in a lot of churches, that's just the way it is. But it's us in the crowd. It's all of us that are there. Yes, pastors need to be reaching people, but so does everybody else. They're just human beings like we are. There's nothing extra special that they're just as prone to sin as we are. So we need to quit just depending on pastors. We need to learn this for ourselves. We need to be reaching the lost for Christ. All right, that needs to be our life's mission. And it needs to start right now. Now's the moment. God is calling. All right, sometimes there's a time of preparation to get there. Well, guess what? The road has now been paved. And we need to rise up. I am telling Christians to rise up, to go to the feet of Jesus, to go before the Lord, pray to him how he can use you, and start being used. You know, you can learn this stuff in our discipleship. As you continue to listen to this podcast, you know our discipleship courses are coming. We're going to teach those. Our books have now been approved by a major publisher, and we are now working towards getting those books published. So we're all not only going to have the course, we're going to have published books. We're going to have all the pieces that you can do that right here. Your calling is before you. It is to reach the lost for Christ and disciple others. Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission, says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Are you willing to do this? Are you willing to do what God is calling you to do? Just take that in for a moment. Take that in. I am coming before all of you today to just ask for you to step up. It is time to step up. You can get a hold of us by going to our website, and we can help you do that. We're willing to help. We're willing to reach out. We're willing to have conversations and do the things. But you got to go to our website, put in that you just put in your information, get connected, and we're going to have ways moving forward to do that. We're wanting to actually take this show to you guys. We want to come to you. All right. We're eventually working to do that. We need some financial support to do it. We can't just do it on our own, but we are looking to come to you guys to help you. The time is now. God has given us an opportunity here. Doors are being opened. The path is being paved. All right. Hearts are becoming fertile. The seeds of the gospel need to be planted, and we can plant them. You know, just go back and listen to the parable of the sower. Just go back a few episodes and listen to the parable of the sower. Those hearts, remember the fertile heart. We want those fertile hearts, and we want to walk in that in the name and the blood of Jesus Christ. See, my heart needs to be about the Lord, and so does yours. And God is calling us to this. So my question is, are we going to sit on the sidelines, or are we going to get this done? Look, the God Center concept, just like Turning Point USA, is a movement. It is. And the church is meant to be a movement. It is not meant to be an institution. It is not meant to be just a culture. It's not meant to be a philosophy. It's not just meant to be an enterprise. Okay? It is meant to be a movement. This is a movement. I am saying this right here, right now. The God Center concept is a movement. It is the vision that God gave me in 03-04. It is God calling me to write in 2016. It is the Lord giving me another series of visions in 2019. It is the Lord calling me to start podcasting in 2023 and connecting with Pastor Bob and getting on here. It's the Lord calling me to go on television and having a TV show. None of that stuff is about all these, you know, all these great little things that come with it, I guess, so to speak. It is about taking the name of Christ to the world. That's what we're to do. And you can see that over the period of time, what the Lord has done is he's paved in me a way, and he had to shape me to be able to do it the way that he wants it done. And the time is now. We need to be reaching the lost of Christ, and we need to be putting our foundation in the Word of God. Remember, Jesus is your Savior, your Lord, and your King. That makes him the lawmaker. That makes him the enforcer, and that makes him the one that interprets it for you. He is all these things. He is to be every aspect of your life. He is to indwell in you in every aspect of your life. He owns it all. He owns it all. And here's what I'm going to say about this. Yes, I believe we're coming to a time of the end, and I believe that this event that happened last week is a sign of that. All right, it is. It's a part of this process of getting there. The question is, are you going to do something about it, or are you going to waste the moment? It should be calling a sense of urgency. It should be giving you a sense of urgency to move forward and to walk with Christ in all of this. Moving forward in the truth, moving forward by praying, moving forward by staying in the Word of God, and by promoting God. Remember, we pursue him, we promote him, and we persevere with him. That doesn't mean it's always going to be perfect. That doesn't mean every person's going to listen. I pray that they all do. I pray that every human being on the face of the planet will come to Christ. But is that going to happen? Probably not. The Lord kind of warned us that it wouldn't. But we don't know who will say yes. And we are called to reach. I do not want to stand in heaven one day and look back at the people that I missed. That's an eternity of sorrow. I don't want to miss anyone. I pray for everyone. And I'm going to lead us right now. I'm going to say this. Lord, I pray that every person listening here, right now, is ready to move forward, that their hearts will be fertile for the seeds of the gospel and God's truth to stay taken and grow deep roots. And I cast out all evil assignments and all evil appointments and all evil beings and evil things that are in your way, that those chains are broken. I bind them in the name of Jesus, and I loose you to go forth and preach the gospel and teach people about the good news and discipling them In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, empowered by the Spirit. And I pray that the Holy Spirit is ready to move forward and will bring this to you in the name and the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to the glory of God, our Father, that every knee bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord forever and ever. Every tribe, tongue, and nation. We need to be praying this. We need to be praying this right now. Pursue this today. God loves you, and he wants you to pursue other people for him. Stop and pray and ask God how you can be used, and just continue to do it over and over and over. Thank you for joining us today and being a part of this great movement, the God Center Concept. Now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin. Hello, I'm T.S. Wright, founder and president of the God Center Concept and host of the Kingdom Crossroads podcast. Our mission is clear. We are here to help spark a great harvest, a revival, if you will, across the United States. That's why we are launching the 2540 campaign. Over the next 40 days, we're going to ask people to join us, just like you, and to give a one-time tax-deductible gift of $25 and partnering us with this mission, and then sharing this vision with other people so we can expand our reach in powerful ways. God is calling us to work, and together we can see lives transformed and hearts awaken. You can simply scan this QR code or go to www.godcenteredconcept.com to make this one-time gift to our ministry. Thank you for being a part of this community. Your prayers and your support mean more than you will ever know. May God bless you in all that he calls you to do. And as we always say here, now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin.